listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Ah, what a show we've got. Now, I don't know if I've done this before, but I've got two people coming in on two different channels. It's very, very exciting. I've got Wei Yon Lu. Now, he's the president of the Unitech branch of the Tertiary Education Union. And he's a Unitech senior lecturer in civil engineering. And I hope I get the next name right too. Prabhat Chand, vice president of the Unitech branch of the Tertiary Education Union, Unitech. And he's a senior lecturer in the School of Trades and Services. So these are very serious people in the polytech world. And one is the president of the Tertiary Education Union for Unitech, and the other is the vice president. So they're elected to high office. Good morning, Wei, and good morning, Prabhat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rodney.
Ah, it's so wonderful to see you. I've never done this before. I've had two people on, but in the same space. I don't think I've had them in different spaces. So if I get a bit anxious, you know, you'll have to appreciate me.
Well, good.
Yeah, first time, so.
So tell me what you do at the Unitech, starting with Prabhat.
Okay. I have been at Unitech for last more than 21 years.
Wow.
And prior to that, I was looking after the vocational program in Fiji. My title was a senior education officer. Now over here, I'm senior lecturer. And I have held many positions while I was at Unitech. I have academic leader, program coordinator, and all sorts of positions. So I have been very closely, I have a close interest in vocational education. And for that reason, I've been very closely following the role.
Mm. And what is it you teach?
Oh, I teach automotive engineering.
Oh, wow. Fixing cars.
Yeah, fixing cars. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be a motor mechanic, right?
Yeah.
I would be in your course.
You're most welcome, Rodney. And you learn very fast.
Yeah, and if I'm in your class, because this is something I don't understand these days, is it night school or is it full-time or is it one or the other or it could be both? What is it? How am I studying to be a motor mechanic these days?
Okay, so we have got several options at Unitech, which is, I think we are one of the polytechnics where we have options starting from what we call level 3 right up to bachelor's program, so in automotive engineering. So, and then we have got day options and night options.
Okay.
Generally, the night options are mainly for apprentices, and we do have a full-time night option, not quite night, evening option. That is purely for people who are doing, you know, some odd jobs in supermarkets and they want to study towards automotive. So that is, we are pretty big in automotive. I think we probably will be one of the biggest. We used to be much bigger than that. Now, I think we have reduced to about half of what we were. And probably we'll hear the reasons, maybe Wei would like to elaborate on why we have gone down that.
I could be working in a garage.
Yeah.
And coming along to evening classes.
That's correct.
I could be working in a supermarket and coming along to classes.
That's correct.
Or I could be full-time learning.
That's correct.
Well, good for you. You're well meeting that market. Now, Wei, what is it that you do at the Unitech?
Yeah, kia ora, Rodney. I'm a senior lecturer in civil engineering at Unitech. So I've been at Unitech since 2005. Subjects I teach into are subjects like engineering mechanics, structural engineering, engineering computing. I've also been quite involved in the union, as Prabhat has. So I've been chair of the Unitech branch of the Tertiary Education Union since 2016. So that's occupied quite a bit of my time. I was an academic leader, which basically means I led the Bachelor of Engineering Technology civil degree for, I think, between 2011 and 2018. So in terms of development of academic programs, moderation and quality control, I've got, you know, I've got some experience in that area as well. Yeah.
So your students are doing a Bachelor of Engineering?
Yeah, also we've got two engineering qualifications in the civil, and there's also the electrical space. It's called the National New Zealand Diploma in Engineering, which is level 6, and the Bachelor of Engineering Technology level 7. So I actually teach into both of those. Both of those programs, yes.
And they're full time courses?
They can be full time, or they can be taken part time as well.
Okay, what's the difference between a Bachelor of Engineering at Unitech versus, say, a Bachelor of Engineering at Auckland University?
Well, that's a good question. Well, firstly, a Bachelor of Engineering at Auckland University would probably have quite a lot more theoretical content in terms of, say, the mathematical level. You probably do 3 years of maths there. There's computer programming. But at the same time, I think our Bachelor of Engineering Technology is much more practice-oriented. So, okay. For example, our students have a lot of training in actually doing 3D design, design of structures on using programs like AutoCAD and Revit. So in terms of being able to hit the ground running when they graduate, I like to think that our students are a lot better prepared than the University of Auckland students. And the advantage is our qualification is a 3-year degree rather than a 4-year degree. So if you think about the fact that, you know, in terms of your fees or student loans or whatever, you've got another year of fees and student loans plus a year that you're not working, I think that the Unitech or the Bachelor of Engineering Technology route is a very, very good one. And it's something, and it's a route that's actually gained a lot of, it's built up its reputation over the past 20 years. So say 10, 12 years ago, people were still a bit puzzled in the industry. What exactly was the Bachelor of Engineering Technology? But now it's getting a lot more recognition and a lot more the employers appreciating the qualities of our graduates more and more.
I have a good mind to do both courses.
Yeah.
I'd love to study. Yeah. I'd love to study.
Yeah, I add, Rodney, listening to Wei, and you know, I agree with what Wei said. The thing that the students and the employers, we have, for the trades, we have got a very complicated system. And that is a big problem.
Can I come to that?
Yeah.
Now, you're the president and vice president of the Unitech branch of the Tertiary Education Union. Is that an elected position?
Yes. Yes. Oh, so, yeah, we've got about 250 members at the Unitech branch, which I think is about 50%, what we call 50% density in union terms. That means 50% of the staff are, of the academic staff at least, are in members of the Tertiary Education Union.
Okay, got that. Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Everyone is confused about what's been happening because there was some plan to have a mega system, as I understand it, where there'd be a central Kremlin that would run all the polytechs, and then it was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Millions and millions of dollars were spent. No one knew quite what was happening. And then there's a new government, and then it stopped. Have I got that right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And so you're sitting there as staff members thinking, what? Particularly when you're on the union, because your members are coming to you and saying, what's happening? And the silly old politicians themselves that were doing it didn't know what was happening. The clowns that were put in charge to put it together were busy running around hiring consultants. They didn't know what was doing. The National Party in opposition didn't know what they were doing, and now they're in government, and I'm not sure they know what they're doing. So the whole system has been thrown a little bit up in the air, which must be very disconcerting, because here you are working there for years and years, planning to improve your reputation, to do a better job, to better place your students, to better prepare your students. And you have this muddling around at the top.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I think you've described it pretty well, Rodney.
That's not bad because I've only read the headlines.
Yeah.
I read that stuff and I'm like, oh no, I can't read into this because it sounds dreadful. The whole thing sounds, doesn't matter if it's National or Labour, the whole thing sounds dreadful. So
it creates a vacuum, though.
Yeah.
A vacuum which is not good for anybody,
no.
The staff are, you don't know where they're going. You know, there's not much leadership because they don't exactly know the direction we are heading. So we like rudderless, no? And that doesn't, you know, the polytechnics are not in good shape. Most of the polytechnics are not in good shape. And then when you do this kind of things constantly, that doesn't help the course. It doesn't help the poor students. It doesn't help the productivity of the country. We don't have enough trained people. So this is serious, I would say. And
this
needs to stop and has to be done quickly. And then people can go ahead with their lives, whether they can swallow the bitter pill, no? if it's not the right one, doesn't matter. But constantly changing doesn't help. So that's just what I would like to say, Rodney. Yeah.
I know as a politician, a former politician,
you are.
Politicians often just like doing stuff to be seen to be doing stuff. And we're going to change that and make it better. And they have no idea about what they're playing with. So that's a sense that I have. So tell me, what are your concerns now? And can you explain for our listeners what needs to happen?
Yeah. If I could just, I'll give you the broad problem, or I think the fundamental problem with the polytechnics in New Zealand is there's been a massive decline, Rodney, in domestic participation rates over the past 10 years. Now, at Unitech, so about 10 years ago, we had about 10,000 Fs, which means equivalent full-time students, right? Now we're down to about 5,000 or even less.
Wow.
So we've and this decline has been going on for the past 10 years, and no one's actually grappled with that fundamental problem. Like, say, Chris Hipkins put together Te Pukinga, but he didn't address, before going into something so expensive, so time-consuming, so heavy in terms of the effort required, you really got to address the fundamental problem. Why is this decline in domestic enrollment rates, domestic participation? Because if you don't have enough, you've got a low participation rate in vocational education, that automatically, in the end, that will impact on your negatively on your productivity as a country.
Of course.
You know, so they've been doing all these things like moving the chairs around at the top, restructuring things, but without understanding what problem they're actually trying to address. So I think that's a real concern. And I think even the previous government before the coalition government in 2017, the previous national government, they weren't great at really addressing the fundamental problem. But this decline in enrollments is something that we really need to understand the cause of before we keep on just doing things, like you said, Rodney, just doing things for the sake of doing things and spending more and more money on things that don't really help those at the grassroots, the students that can't get to school perhaps because can't get to class perhaps because they can't afford to pay for transport. They need to put food on the table. So why is there this huge decline in domestic students? And
have you a theory for why that is?
Well, my feeling is maybe it's simply the cost of living, or maybe they're going to, it could be the universities are sucking them up, which could be a good thing. But at the same time, we're going to be missing out on key skills like in automotive engineering and building and nursing. If we're not, though I think nursing enrollments are holding up, but I think unless we really address this problem, we're going to be in trouble. And the problem, Rodney, is the governments, successive governments, instead of saying, how do we address this problem? What they've done is just follow the market. So, we've got fewer students enrolling, therefore we can sell off some more land, we can sell off some more polytechnic assets. But that doesn't address the fundamental problem. Just because you've got fewer, say, students enrolling in construction doesn't mean you don't need people qualified in construction, right? you still, society, a first world country still needs a certain number of people that are good builders, good mechanics and that. So that's the worry that no one's, it seems, is addressing that core fundamental problem.
Because if, I mean, thinking about it, I would have thought you could have a pretty good guess estimate of how many automotive engineers you're going to need over the next 10 years. You'd have a pretty good estimate at how many plumbers you're going to need over the next 10 years. This isn't rocket science, right? And you'd have a pretty good estimate of how many civil engineers you're going to need over the next 10 years. Because even just assuming that the present trend continues, that would be a good assumption. Now, if you've dropped by 50%, it's not obvious to me that we need 50% less plumbers and 50% less automotive engineers.
That's
and with that's the growth with population also. So it's supposed to have more people needing more people, more plumbers, more automotive engineers, more cars on the road. But it seems to be reverse. We have reduced it by half. So
it's this is going to, it's got a huge lag in it. Yeah. Because let's say in 5 years' time, we suddenly short of, let's say, plumbers or motor mechanics. We can't magic them up overnight. Of course, you can go into the international market, but that brings its own problems because then you're bringing in immigrants and you could have been training up people that are struggling to find well-paying and productive jobs. So you can't fix this problem overnight. You've got to actually have some foresight for what's going on. And what you're saying is no one is particularly responsible for that because the politicians and the funders are just saying, well, how many people are wanting to do the course? But the numbers of people wanting to do the course isn't necessarily driven, isn't necessarily driven by how many people you're going to need in 10 years' time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The Rove, what Rove had tried to do was created a group called Regional Skills Leadership Groups. And these people were asked to decide how many tradespeople are needed without having a scientific basis. I have written my article to say, why don't you use a scientific approach of working out how many nurses we need, how many automotive engineers we need, and try and in each of the regions, you know, and then go through that way. Then we're going to fill up the skill shortage that we have. I know for one area, which is automotive electrical area, you know, there's huge shortage, but we don't have people coming into that training. Very small numbers. So I don't know, there should be incentives be given to fill those kind of skill gaps.
But there's a double,
doesn't seem to be happening here.
There's a double danger, isn't there? It just occurred to me. That if the numbers drop, you actually lose staff, right? Yeah. That teach these courses. And then you've got a real problem because it's one thing to be a motor mechanic. It's another thing to teach it. And you can't actually magic up overnight people that can teach the skills that automotive engineers need.
Yeah, well, that's something that we would agree with wholeheartedly. You can be professional in your field. It doesn't mean that you'll be necessarily a teacher of that field as well. So if we lost staff, most of those staff could actually find jobs in the industry because they come from industry. But in terms of replacing those teaching skills, that would be a real concern. If I could come back, Rodney, you said about the fact that, you know, you've got this decline in, you know, domestic enrollments. How does that correspond to what's required in society? Well, I haven't got the exact figures here, but New Zealand's apparently one of the lowest in the OECD now in terms of vocational education participation rate. So if you did one sort of crude, broad analysis, you could say, look, to be a first world country, we need to be on a par with other first world countries in terms of the type of people we're training up in technical skills. And at
Fair
the moment,
enough. Yep.
Not doing that. The other thing is there's a danger. If you look at the immigration, I don't know if you call it green list, or there's some list which has, you know, the kind of professions and trades required, which is all good. But the fact is, if you're bringing in people to fill in to fill these gaps, but not training people that are already here, what you're going to create is perhaps you could end up creating an underclass of people who are not trained in the
yes,
you know, they're not getting the training they could have got, and they're not getting the jobs that they could have had, the well-paid jobs they could have had if they had been given that training. So it's, you know, using immigration as a, you know, stopgap measure. Oh, we've got this, say, I don't know what's on, I haven't looked at the list, but whatever's on the list, say if it was automotive, it was mechanics. So let's bring in a whole lot of mechanics because we haven't got enough in New Zealand. But that means that's fine in terms of filling that need for mechanics. But what about the people that could have been mechanics here that are not going to be mechanics and they may be doing something else? Like, so I think we've got something else that's probably, you know, they might not get any training at all. They might be doing dead-end work or even worse. So I think
we've so got there's a big societal issue.
Yeah.
Because the ability to have a satisfying, productive job and earn a good wage
that's
and provide
part of it
for
as
your
well.
Family.
Yeah.
Now, who do you come under the Ministry of Education, God forbid, or the was there something else, tertiary education system? What is it you come under?
I think it's we've got a tertiary education, but broadly we are under Ministry of Education. And our funding arm is TEC, which is Tertiary Education Commission.
And so the Tertiary Education Commission is within the Ministry of Education, is it?
I think they work side by side together.
Okay. So they should be the ones
yep.
that are all over this.
They've got a huge involvement in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But why aren't they sounding the alarm, looking at these numbers, figuring out what's needed, writing papers for the minister saying we've got a serious problem? Here are some options for fixing it. Is it because they're useless? You can't say, right?
I don't think we know because we could only speculate, right? Because we're not in we're not in the portals of power, I suppose. But
well, that's another interesting thing, right? Because as the president and vice president of the union at Unitech, which is a very, very large institution, wouldn't you have ready access, first of all, to the Tertiary Education Commission, and second of all, the minister responsible and their staff?
Yeah. Actually, we don't have that much access. In fact, it's very rare that a minister will – things happened recently, but it's very rare that a minister will speak directly to the staff themselves. And mostly the minister will speak to the CEs of the various institutes or the leadership, and same with the Tertiary Education Commission. Like, I think we've never had Tim Fowler come. Tim Fowler's the head of the TEC. He's only come to Unitech once, which is a big, you know, is a big
no.
win for
him.
Yeah.
No.
2018, I think, yeah. Just once.
That's the most extraordinary thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I honestly can't believe that.
Yeah.
I only know that what I did. I'll tell you a very funny thing about I was a minister.
Yeah.
And I had this CEO of a department who was under me come to visit me, and he was telling me what's not, and I said, where's all your offices? And he says, oh, it's just down the road. And I says, well, let's pop down there and I'll go and meet everyone. And he looked at me and said, oh, you know, what now? And I said, yeah, right now. It's popped down. It's like it was. I could throw a stone and hit the building. Oh, no, no, it's not appropriate now, but we'll arrange a meeting. So the next week I went over for a morning tea and I ended up going over like a dozen times.
Right.
I was the first minister ever to visit them that anyone could remember. And this was Internal Affairs, which has been around for 100 years.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. And they were literally down the road.
Yeah.
And I used to ask to do that all the time.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you'd have a chief executive. So here's the Tertiary Education Commissioner. Support tertiary education organisations to be accountable, self-improving and self-managing.
Yep.
Give effect to the government's requirements for tertiary education, yep, as outlined in the Tertiary Education Strategy, and yep, act in accordance with their role. And you've got your own special minister,
yep,
because there's a minister for education, Erica Stanford, who we know of, and then there's the Minister for Tertiary Education and Skills, the Honourable Penny Simmons, who I'm afraid I've never heard of. And then we see that there's the Chief Executive, Tim Fowler, and then there's a Chairperson, Jen Bestwick. And this character has never been to speak to the staff.
Well, just once, at least it's uni checks, so.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, look. The Honourable Penny Simmons says she's got, on the 1st of August, she put out a press statement, you'll be pleased to know, Way and Pubbett. The government is consulting on reforms to replace the failed Te Pukenga, whatever that is, experiment with a financially, they're consulting on reforms. Anyway, yeah, they have a crack at the last government, and then they're looking to redesign the Institute of Technology and Polytechnic Network, options for industry-led systems, for changes to vocational education funding from 1926 to... So you've just got this... I can see what you're saying now, because now you've got limbo land again while they're consulting about what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Meanwhile, numbers have dropped 50%. You can see a crisis for New Zealand in terms of trades and skilled people. We've got young people not accumulating the skills that society needs, the country needs, and that they need actually to get on and have a good life.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the politicians are up there rearranging the deck chairs in Wellington without even talking,
yep,
to the people that do it.
Well, to give Penny credit, well, you know, let's see how this consultation goes, if she will listen to staff. But I think one positive thing is that Penny has done one good thing, and the one good thing is to wind back the Te Pukenga project.
Yes.
Which was really unwieldy, yep, it was over-centralised. So, and I think she did listen to staff voices there, because there was a lot of opposition to the Te Pukenga project, well within even the union itself. The ordinary membership were very, very negative on Te Pukenga, even though perhaps union official communications didn't reflect that. There was a, you know, widespread dissatisfaction with Te Pukenga. So the fact that she's wound that back, and she's, you know, saying, okay, let's open the floor, let's see what the views of staff are in terms of how we want to go for the future. So far, we've got to give her credit for that. Right. The only thing is I think it's been happened a bit slowly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree, Wei. I think what Penny has come up with, I've seen some of my senior guys in my trades area much happier looking at some of the options they have given, provided they choose that option. For the work-based learning, I think it'll be really good. I think they're talking about where the polytechnics and the work ITOs working together. You know, that'll be really good if we can work together, because at the end of the day, the student employer, they don't care, you know. It's the qualification is same. They would like to see best of both worlds, you know. They would like to see a training, some portion of the training delivered at Polytechnic, because they have, we give them a holistic education, which is very important. You know? And also, we got all the resources and the academics there have been in the industry. You know, they haven't just become teachers like that. They come from industry. They were the better ones, probably. They were chosen to teach. You know, and so it is. It'll be good if they work together, and I hope that option is taken.
It's pretty amazing, because I would normally expect tertiary education lecturers to be, how can I put this politely, lean a little bit to the left. And I would normally expect the Unitech union to be supportive of a Labor government, because typically they've put money into education. But here we got to where the previous government actually lost the support of the sector, which was no mean achievement.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, if you talk about putting money into the sector, where was that money going? It certainly wasn't seen by the ordinary students, although there was definitely funding for trades and engineering in terms of qualifications, which is a good thing. The year 2000 and 2001, the TTAF scheme, I forgot what that stands for, Targeted Tertiary Apprenticeship Fund, I think, which is a good thing. Yeah. But if you look at the money they spent on Te Pukenga, a huge amount of that went to consultants. And Brabant and myself, we went to endless seminars where you had these consultants with hardly any, not even education experience, not even experience in the trades or engineering. And they'd have glossy PowerPoints, and they'd be paid God knows how much money to do these presentations, in which you just had a whole lot of, I suppose, woke platitudes. And
you'd be sick in your guts.
I think most people, associated with union are left. I don't know, in terms, you know, to be truthful, my own political leanings are that way. But when you talk about left, that means you want what's best for those people, the students, right? That's what you want for kids that are, you know, haven't had a good ride through the education system. They get a second chance at getting a trade or an engineering qualification, which takes them on to good jobs. They weren't focused on that. They were focused on a whole lot of things that perhaps we shouldn't be focusing on. And I'll tell you one thing in terms of the real cavalier attitude to taxpayers' money. Te Pukenga, with hardly any staff consultation, this was under the previous government, okay, and this will blow your socks off. They were originally intending to spend $600 million on an IT system, which we don't know how that would improve on the current one, right? $600
million. $600 million.
Listen, yeah. Dr. Nigel Yee, I know he's a colleague of ours, an electrical engineer, he's got he actually did some research on how much it would cost. He reckons it costs about $50 million, right? Because obviously consultants are going to give you, you know, sell the moon to you, right? But they were going to implement this without any consultation of staff. Eventually, they pulled it down to $330 million, which was still an outlandish number. An outlandish amount. In the end, I texted Penny Simmons, and I don't know, because our branch, I said, look, you've got to pull the plug on this project, because there's no, you know, from a purely cynical view, there's no political capital in it. Just pull the plug on it. It's not going to do anything for our students. They haven't even talked to staff about it. And so at least she canned that. She cancelled that. $330 million. Now, you think what that amount of money could do if it was spent at the grassroots, more scholarships, even providing subsidised food, for heaven's sake, on campus, in terms of getting your success rates up. And so they were it was more like it's just a sandpit for consultants to play with, and whatever the consultants came up with, whatever figures, because it was not challenged by the staff in terms of what was required, it seemed like the minister would just accept it. So that was just quite frightening, looking at the way things were being run in terms of, I thought, man, this is like the way you'd run a banana republic, to tell the truth.
Oh, those consultants love a political project like that.
Yeah.
It's just hay for them. Tell me this. Is it a level playing field for an 18 or 19-year-old in terms of expense to them personally of choosing to do, let's say, a Bachelor of Arts degree in communications versus a civil engineering diploma or an automotive engineering trade? Is it a level playing field?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think the cost are exact, very similar. I think, do you agree? Yeah, the costs are very similar.
I think the cost of the student would be very similar, regardless of the type.
Okay.
Level qualification, isn't it, Prabhat?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's peculiar to me that we have a whole lot of, I call them kids now, that's how old I am, going off to do what I would call absolutely useless degrees. And they're doing it because they don't know quite what they want to do with their life. And they head off to university because it's the thing to do. And they spend 3 or 4 years there and literally come out and work in a coffee shop. We all know people that have done that, or go overseas and work in a ski field or something like that to find themselves.
Yeah.
And in that same time, they could have become a plumber, an electrician, a motor mechanic, a civil engineer, and actually learn useful stuff and actually have a job the next day and be working productively with a whole career and potential business in front of them.
Well, yeah, I agree. And that's why we've got to grapple with where have these students that used to study at UniTech or used to study in the sector, in terms of those previous numbers, where have they gone? Are they just not getting any qualification, or are they getting qualifications and university degrees?
They might be getting a degree in critical studies on breakdancing.
Well, I don't want to put in another qualification, but just to correct you about the Bachelor of Communication Studies, that's actually a very good vocational degree, Rodney. The one that we offered at UniTech, they went into kind of good fields, I think journalism. It was actually a vocationally oriented degree. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but the one that we had and we lost because we didn't have enough students, that got students into good jobs. So, I think, in terms of vocation, we're talking about vocational education, which is wider than, I suppose, just trades and engineering.
Mm. Okay. Well, I stand corrected. I was
grappling. Yeah, I think we started losing student numbers when the student central thing came up, and they created online systems, and the demography of our students are such that we basically have to hold their hands, and that sort of started dropping from there onwards, and together with I think we have reduced the size, the footprint of our campus, and especially when we talk about our trades area, we have got an open plan trades building, which is not the best, and it's quite small, and it's open plan. It's not practical. It's nice looking building, but it's not practical. So, I think there's so many things that has caused the number to decline. Not only one thing. I don't think a lot of students may have moved to, degree courses elsewhere, I think we all of a sudden we became not that attractive, you know, to enroll to attract students, you know. So that's, I think that is one of the reasons I think has caused that.
Why wouldn't you wrote a Substack column,
yeah,
on these issues, which was very, very good.
Thank you.
Very, very reasonable and alarming. And it wasn't negative or a political diatribe. It was just an analysis of the current situation, as we've discussed here today, albeit because you were writing it out a bit deeper. Why wouldn't the Tertiary Education Commission receive that with some interest? I suppose you can't know because you're not in their mind. I mean, I would have thought that they would read that and say, I better talk to these two characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good idea, Rodney. I think
we should invite
you should send it to Tim Fowler.
I will send it to Tim Fowler and ask him to come on to discuss it, eh?
Yeah, I think so. Right there, probably.
I am pretty shocked by this. And as you say, the minister's new, but unfortunately, she's going to be guided by officials. And while she can get a text and say, yeah, cut that, and she did, good on her. But for setting up the new structure, she's going to be guided by the characters that gave us what we had previously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Penny, because she's got experience in the sector.
I didn't know that.
CEO of Otago Polytech, I think, was it Prabhat?
Southern Institute of Technology.
Technology, yeah. So, and I think that institute performed quite well. So, I think she'll be quite discerning in her when she receives this advice. She'll have, you know. So, I think she's got a pretty good idea, as much as a minister would have.
Yes.
Of what happens on the ground in terms of a policy.
Great. Yeah. Well,
one of the immediate things she had done is great. The funding called Unified Funding, which was trying to incentivize work-based learning in a workplace, you know. So, and that was taking money from the polytechnics, and the polytechnics were bleeding, you know, and they were, you know, and they're taking money away from them. It was not helping the polytechnics. So she stopped that. So that's
okay. Well, let's hope that she gets on top of this. In the meantime, I'm going to advise my children to do automotive engineering, plumbing, and probably civil engineering, because I can see great opportunities in the future if the numbers are dropped so precipitously for them to have good jobs in the future. Well, wouldn't that be a sensible thing for them to do?
Well, you have a look at the immigration shortlisting, Rodney.
Yeah.
And I think you've hit it. I think from what I read, civil engineering, for one, is about second or first on the list. I can't remember.
What do you call it? The immigration green list?
I can't remember exactly what it's called, but they've got a list.
Green list, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Green list something, yeah.
Yeah. And auto electricians should be on the list.
Yeah.
We don't train enough.
Yeah.
Engineers.
So the list means that we're probably not training enough.
Avionics engineers, aircraft maintenance, ambulance paramedic.
So I don't see there is a scientific basis behind what sort of numbers we need to train. And a group like RSLG, RSLG is deciding. It's not quite appropriate, I would say.
Civil engineer technician, tier one role, eligible for straight to residence.
Yeah.
Construction project manager.
Should be auto electrician in there. I believe I saw them sometime back.
I'm sure they are. Look, it's amazing. It is amazing. This is a great thing to look at for when you're thinking about what you're going to do for a job. Diesel motor mechanic.
Yeah.
Tier two role, eligible for work to residence. drain layer, earth moving plant operator, electrical engineer, T1.
Yeah.
Electrical engineer technician, tier one, electrician, electronics engineer. I'm only up to the E's.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It's a great, you don't need a careers advisor, you just look at what they're looking for. And this is disgusting to me. Now I'm angry. You've made me angry because I'm sitting there thinking,
yeah,
they got all this tier one. Meanwhile, they've starved the money from the tertiary sector and the numbers are 50% down.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be more of this.
Yeah. Well, exactly, Rodney. And so, I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it. And the fact that no one's looked at the key issue, which is participation rates, numbers of domestic.
That is absolutely.
Why is that happening? And how can you put in a project like Chris Hipkins did, just, oh, let's just do something, spend a lot of money, without finding out what, you know, identifying the key issue you're trying to solve and then finding out what are the reasons for that issue? You know, it's just not a problem solving sort of approach. I mean, what's an
and
approach
of course,
to achieve anything?
Of course, if you're a civil engineer and if you're an automotive engineer, your whole life is problem solving.
Assume so.
And your whole life isn't chasing your tail and coming up with things that sound good, because what you think about the car might sound good, but it won't make the car go. And what we're talking about is how to fix the car. Can you two fellas keep in touch with us and come on again and maybe 6 months and tell us how it's going? We will try and follow up with the Tertiary Education Commissioner and Penny Simmons and find out where they're up to. If we get them on board, we'll let you know so you can listen in and you can shoot me some questions that are on point. I can't tell you how much I have appreciated you coming on our show, because this is a big problem that you have highlighted for us. We were totally unaware of it. I imagine the lady in the street is totally unaware of it, because I haven't read about this problem in the paper. And I think, as President Trump would say, it's huge. It's a huge problem. And it needs addressing. And we will be following it up for you and on behalf of the country.
Fantastic.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was we're talking to two fine gentlemen. Wei Yun Lu, I got that right, and Prabhat Chan, two wonderful lecturers at Unitech who represent the staff there, talking about the actual problem that we confront, which is a shortage of students going in at the front end, and therefore a lack of skills within society down the track. And we're trying to plug it by giving fast track to immigrants with those skills. And we've lost a lot of years over this time rearranging the deck chairs and who's going to be a manager and how they get paid and flicking a few hundred million to consultants and computers without addressing the actual problem. If you want a problem fixed, always ask an engineer. Because that's what they do for a living. Isn't that right?
Yes, correct. That's
thank
correct.
Thank you so much for coming on board, fellas. Oh,
thank
this is
you. Thank you for having us.
This is Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. We were truly blessed to have them along, and we got a great insight into the, what I still call the politics sector in New Zealand. And I have to say, that's where I'm leaning towards for my children. Because I think that is a great opportunity, because you learn skills that stay with you for life.
Thank you.
From caps to tees and bags to bumper stickers, we have you covered. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.